The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Yo. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We got our colleague check-in with Chris Russell coming up at 8:20, but joining us right now is John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. And John was honored on the field yesterday.
Right.
500th game. Yep.
Job well done. That's
what was your first game, John? What was your very first game? What year was it? Who'd they play?
1994. And, God, I think it was, I want to say the Chargers. I don't even remember who the game was. Here's what I remember about my first year, that the first preseason game, and this does not include preseason games, but the first preseason game I was supposed to cover, I was excited for it because, like, you work really hard to get to this point and blah, blah, blah. So I wake up and I have this bad feeling in my stomach. It was just like, I felt like it was a really bad cramp. Well, it turned, and I didn't get better. Went to the doctor and said, you've got to have your appendix out. You've got to drive to the hospital now. Oh, and the nurse tells me that. And I was so ready to cover this game that I, like, my eyes started to water up. She's like, oh, you're okay. You're not going to be any pain. I'm like, I know that. Like, I was pissed that I was going to miss his first game. So, as I was drugged, I'm taking notes, listening to Sonny Jurgensen and Frank Herzog and all that on the radio. But that's what I remember from the first one. But the very first game, I want to say it was the Chargers, but I just don't remember, to be honest.
All right, so 1994.
Yeah.
Could you have imagined that in 2024?
Seattle.
Okay, it was against Seattle. Could you imagine in 2024 that you'd have a home game with that many Steelers fans?
No, and it's funny because years ago you go out to Arizona and cover games out there, right? And it was so different. Like, man, like, there's more opposing fans, there weren't a lot of fans, blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking, what would it be like to cover that? Well, for a while I started covering that. I do, obviously it's changed here. And I also think, like, yesterday was, I think, the last remnants of the old regime in terms of season or tickets sold. Because those tickets go on sale in the spring. Mm-hmm. Like, I guarantee you Steelers fans gobble them up right away.
Right.
So I don't think it's an indication of anything other than where this franchise was versus this offseason going to be able to sell a lot more season ticket packages and start to get that thing back up to where it was. And so, in 1994, could I have seen it? No, but a couple years ago, yes. And I was expecting it today, just for the reasons I said. It's the momentum for the ticket sales was not there at that point, and they will be there after this season. Hmm.
So, John, you tweeted this just about 15 minutes ago, @John_Keim, that Pittsburgh completely negated Jaden Daniels' legs. He was held to 5 yards rushing on 3 carries. Hasn't scored a rushing touchdown in 6 games. Do you see the coaching staff making a concerted effort in just a few days, because they play on Thursday night, to have more Jaden Daniels designed rushes built into the game plan going forward?
Honestly, that's a stylistic thing too, but depending on the defense. And sometimes, like the kind of the defensive Steelers run, that 34 look, it's harder to run a lot of the quarterback keepers. And there was actually one where you thought the draw late in the game, where you thought he had a chance, and Sam Cosmi blamed himself for how he blocked it. Like he said, the technique the tackle used, he was expecting it, but he for some reason did something different. And it could have been a bigger run, but some of those are very team specific. And I remember when Robert was here back in the day, like they didn't run a lot of the quarterback runs against them either, because it's the same defense. Mm-hmm. And I think what the Steelers did was maybe in some ways just a credit to them and how they're coached. Their rush lane discipline was fantastic and a lot of blitzes. And I think what they did is because I would say that teams are more afraid of him scrambling and getting out than they are on the designed runs. The designed runs have been fine, but they haven't been special. The scrambles are more like that, right? They're the ones that are the killers, and that's what they took away. And they took it away, to me, by a lot of five-man rushes. There was 19 of them that they had, way more than they've had in any other game. Mm-hmm. And so I think that in the way the ends are too, and I mean, it's a good line. So I don't know, but as far as with Philly, yeah, I could see more because it's a different style of defense. And I think a big factor would be getting Brian Robinson back, because, the run game wasn't – the Steelers have a good run defense. Mm-hmm. But they were in a lot of second and third and longs, and it's hard to live that way against a good front. And that's – so whatever it takes to get there, but I think getting Brian Robinson back would be a big help.
Were you surprised that he missed his second game in a row? And do you think he'll be ready to go Thursday night? Because that's a quick turnaround.
It is, and I don't know. And, I wasn't surprised because on Friday he wasn't out at practice. So that was the first tip, right? But before then, you weren't sure. But when he's not out there, it's a wrap. And I just think those hamstrings are very tricky. And the same thing with Marshawn Lattimore. I just think they're very tricky, and you better make sure, because what they want from both those guys is to be ready for the stretch, right? Just make sure you're healthy so that way you don't miss games in December or in January. So I think I don't know for Robinson for Thursday. Lattimore, I'd be a little bit surprised if he played Thursday, just because, I think you kind of want to open it up a little bit to test him that way, right, before you put him on the field. And I don't know that this is going to be the week for that. But
Well, so, obviously there are a ton of plays to talk about, but the two big ones were late in the game, and the first down call, the fourth and nine, yeah, that was not given the first down to Ertz.
And that was a horrible spot.
You thought it was a horrible spot?
Well, the refs put it at the 42. Like, that wasn't even remotely close to where he was. Like, he was right at the line, whether or not you get it or not. It was inches. They had him a yard back. Like, that was ridiculous.
I thought it was a coin flip. I said earlier, Ertz has to make sure he gets to where he catches the ball. He's a veteran. He needs to get beyond that first down marker so there's not a
and make it a no-brainer. And that's fine.
Like, well, was he just sitting there? He was kind of beyond it, and he came back to the ball.
Yeah,
he was just there. And here, I think, if they had ruled it a first down, I don't have an issue with it. I don't think it was, but I think it was whichever way you're going to rule, you probably weren't going to overturn it. But to put it a yard back was ridiculous.
Yeah, and then, of course, the Johnny Newton penalty that gave him the game. Yep. I don't think the Steelers were going to run a play there. So
they were not
going to run a play. So, I mean, and I understand he's a rookie, it's instinctive, but I wonder if Bobby Wagner said in the huddle, hey, they ain't running a play here, bro. Don't move.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, and
he still did.
And he still did.
It's hard. I would be quite sure of that a guy like that would say that.
They probably all knew it.
Yeah, no, he's a rookie.
It's instinctive.
And I would, that cost him a shot to get the ball back.
Correct.
It doesn't cost him the game. There were too many other plays, whether it's missed throw, a drop, whatever, you mm-hmm. know, or a blown coverage that factored more. But that was just, it was an over-anxious rookie, and it cost him in that spot.
I was shocked at the number of people that were attacking Jaden on my timeline. And certainly Jaden didn't have his best game, but I thought he was still pretty good. You know, just plagued by some drops. I'm not blaming receivers. Yeah. It is what it is. I thought he was pretty good. That one throw he made on the side, I keep remarking to the guys, that was the strongest throw I've seen from him in 9 weeks.
But he also missed some wide open guys.
Okay, but everybody misses guys. Yeah. Like okay, but every game, even when he's at 80%.
All right, but you got to be semi-critical.
QBR was in the 30s.
Who cares? I mean, to my eye test, he was pretty good. They didn't lose because of Jaden. I just think it's crazy.
No, but he was off.
It was his worst game.
Worst game of all good ones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you've got to be critical. He wasn't that good.
I don't think he was that bad.
Okay, we'll disagree.
We'll disagree.
Go ahead, 100%. John.
I will argue till 10 a.m.
I mean, he wasn't horrible, but he missed some guys who were wide open. And
okay. Every week he misses guys. Okay. Every week, every quarterback. Oh,
not
misses
really.
Guys.
His completion percentage is pretty damn good.
That wasn't a special performance. I'm not saying he's not special.
No, but
performance. If you just look at that individual game,
but it was crazy. The people
was
attacking
ho-hum.
Him. Yeah, John, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I think the bar has been raised high for him. And mm-hmm. yesterday, I would agree that, like, you know, one thing I would say, like, that was not his most accurate game. I think the Steelers had something to do with that. Like the throw to Zacchaeus. I felt like he was rushed. That he maybe felt rushed.
I think he was rushed on a lot of them, actually.
Yeah, I think he was definitely rushed onto some of them. I think there were a couple times where there were some throws that were off, and sometimes I think he's almost throwing it away, but getting in the vicinity of a guy. Like there was one time he's avoiding a sack in the first quarter, throws it to Ertz. And it's like behind him a little bit, but like he had no chance to complete it. It was to avoid a sack. And here's a guy just, you know what I mean? So I think there was definitely some things that were off. The pass game was off. There were a couple drops. I mean, the one, again, the McCaffrey one was a tough miss. And that is a deep throw, but it's one we've seen him make. And sometimes you're off. And I felt like
those are low percentage throws. Like people grilling him about that is crazy to me.
Yeah, they are.
Wide open.
And I think he's open. It's like this also situation, and you know, like if they complete that, you know, that's at the very least you're probably in deep in field goal.
For sure.
Range.
Oh yeah.
And so you know, and I think the one to Noah Brown late, where you know he has to kind of come back a little bit for it. That's a tight window throw, and it's a little bit off. And
a little bit off, but he totally could have caught it. Totally.
Yeah, for both are true.
He does nothing wrong.
It's not that he didn't do anything wrong.
It was a short throw. He underthrew him.
Okay,
he
fine, just but he was he totally hit his hands.
Okay,
catchable.
But you got to be critical of bad throws, too. You can't just say
I'm not being not critical. It's just that you're being outrageous.
How am I being outrageous?
Well, people on my timeline are. I'm just taking it out.
I'm not attacking him. It just wasn't a great game for Jaden Daniels.
I don't think it was a great game, but it was a fine game. It was fine. It was good enough to win, in my opinion. He isn't the reason why we lost.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, too, like, it's funny because for a while there, I'm thinking, if they pull this out with him not having his best game, that's a really good sign for this team. Because, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a basketball game where, you know, if your star guy isn't having his best night and you still find a way to win.
See, on the whole, we had a C-plus game. We had a ball for 20 minutes.
Yeah. And so, like, there, you know, I think he's – the one thing I like about him have always is how he's a competitor. Like games like that, like even though things are off, it doesn't slow him. You know what I mean? It doesn't rattle him. And I think that's so you take things like that from it too. But yeah, I mean, I also give a lot of credit to the Steelers for it. There are a lot of throws that were that had to be thrown into tight windows. There are a couple times where I'm not sure should the receiver have sat on this route in the zone coverage. Or should he, you know, or did he think he was going to lead him? Like there was, so some things were off with it. I don't, like, he's going to have a game where it doesn't work as well as it has, and it's okay.
Right.
And I think the other guy, the guy who would say that the most, who would be was more critical than anybody in your timeline, is Jaden himself. Like, he's not, you know, there may be guys here in the past who played the position who wanted to hear everything good about it. That's not him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he doesn't want to hear how great he is. He wants to see, like, where can I get better? And so I think you can take that from that. But, yeah, it wasn't – I would say this. It wasn't his best game, for sure.
100%.
But you know, it, I mean, 28-27, they got a shot still, despite that. And I think, like, what I, the thing I take from that one, too, is that they were right there with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reinforcement is number 23 coming in whenever he comes in to play corner. Like, that touchdown pass to Mike Williams is exactly the kind of play why you have, why you go out and make that trade for Lattimore.
Right.
And so, like, the one, you know, if that, if they hadn't made that deal, then you say that's going to continue to be a problem. Now you can look at it and say, well, that problem should be solved in a couple of weeks whenever, or whenever Lattimore gets out there.
And real quick, John, where are we at with injury status, if you know, on Brian Robinson, Wiley, and you mentioned Lattimore?
Yeah, I think, like I said, we'll know more later in the week. Because we just don't know. And
gotcha.
I don't think they fully know. I think Wiley worked out before the game and a long workout. And so, you know, I think he must be at least close to being able to play because it was a very close call. I mean, they worked him out. It was a good 10, 15 minutes. And they're much more strenuous than you usually see. Robinson, hamstring, and Lattimore. I would be surprised if Lattimore plays because you're not going to have a full practice this week. So I don't think you're going to get a full chance for him to be incorporated into the D, and also to show, just, you know, can you cut it loose with the hamstring, right? I think that's going to be asking a lot, and I just don't know with Robinson at this point.
Will they practice today?
No, they'll be out there. They'll have stuff, but like tomorrow and Wednesday they have light workouts.
Right.
So this is this team needs a bye, and I think the long break between this game and then the Dallas game will help, and then you have two games, and then you finally get a bye. So that will – they need that. It's not like these are long-term things. These are all, like, little things where you need another week. You need another week. So.
Yeah. All right, JK.
Thank you, John. Appreciate
Thanks, John.
It.
Congrats on 500.
Thank you, man. Keep debating that Jaden stuff.
Yeah, another 500. You're close to –
we do every week.
You're halfway to 1,000 games covered, John. You're close.
Well, it'd be nice if there are a few playoff games in there somewhere, too.
That would be nice.
I think you're going to get one this year.
I think we'll have one this year.
Yeah,
I think there'll be at least one. So.
Yeah. All right,
thank
you, John.
Kime covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. We'll have Chris Russell from the Chris Russell Show on Team 980. He'll join us coming up at 8:20 for our colleague check-in. But coming up next, I want to get your temperature. How are you feeling about this team after this game? Do you feel worse? Do you feel pessimistic? Are you thinking that the other shoe's going to drop? They've got the Eagles next on Thursday, and now begins a downward spiral. Or are you feeling better? 800-636-1067, because they hung right in there with the Steelers, who are also a very good team. 800-636-1067. Your call is next on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines here on the Junk.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Junkies talking about the latest loss. First one in a month. They won three games in a row.
This isn't the best way to frame it. It's not like you're making it sound like you're losing a bunch of games. That game was kind of an outlier.
This is the way I look at it. Look, they're for real. And I think everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And they lost to a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there are a few plays. You can talk about the drops and the muff punt. Yeah, sure. I mean, you're not going to play a perfect game. You lost to a damn good team. And I think the Eagle game on Thursday is the biggest of the two, clearly. But, this is a game that the Commanders would have lost by three touchdowns last year.
Easily. I totally agree with you. The problem is the narrative will be, until proven otherwise, that they lost to a winning team. Another winning team. They can't beat a winning team. You know, they can't beat a good team.
Well, they are. Yeah, I mean,
I agree with you. We are good.
They are still building to get to that point.
But again, it's year one. This is all kind of unexpected. No one expected this team to be where they are right now.
But the construction is going quicker than people expect.
Oh, way quicker.
That's what you were hoping for when Dan Quinn comes in. You draft Jaden Daniels. Nobody thought it'd be this quick of a turnaround.
No.
And through 10 games, the Commanders are sitting at 7-3, so still in a good spot.
Mid-season reinforcements coming with the Lattimore pickup.
Now, I'm a little worried that it sounds like Marshawn Lattimore might be iffy for Thursday night against the Eagles.
Yeah,
I was
kind of
banking on him being
there. Yeah, but that's okay. This is a long play.
I know it's a long play. But I'd like to see Lattimore opposite A.J. Brown on Thursday night. We might not get that.
You might.
Possible.
You might. But
Jason's right, though. You go toe-to-toe against the Steelers.
Right.
Very winnable game. The thing that concerns me is the Steelers' defense limits them to 242 total yards.
Mm-hmm.
And this offense has been so explosive all season long. You have six punts in the game. There were games where Tress Way didn't punt the ball at all. So you wonder, I don't think it's the case, but you wonder if that defense gave other teams a blueprint on how to contain Jaden Daniels. Well, now they have special players
and
a different style defense, but maybe there's a little bit of a formula in terms of limiting his running.
That's the most formidable defense they've faced all season and probably will face throughout the entire season.
Until the playoffs.
Well, Philly's defense is playing a lot better than they were. But I would agree, that might be the game plan, but you have to have the assets.
Yeah, you have to have the personnel to execute.
And maybe
whatever
Philly or whoever else, Dallas, doesn't have that. But Pittsburgh, defensively, they do.
No, they do. They're legit, and you tip your cap to them. They beat us. But we still scored 27 points. All that being said, Jaden had his worst game rushing, missed a few throws that he's made this year. We still scored 27.
27, and they had the ball for less than 24 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd be a little terrified of Saquon Barkley, though, because we've seen what has happened with running backs against the Commanders' defense. Now, I thought they played really good rush defense overall against Najee Harris and the Steelers' running backs, but Saquon's in a different class.
100%, and Hurts can run, too.
Well, Hurts has eight rushing touchdowns in the five-game win streak. Like, he is on fire.
I think he's got 18 total touchdowns in the last 5 weeks.
He's got eight touchdown passes, one pick in the five-game win streak as well. He's elevating.
Look, he didn't take care of the ball yesterday early in that game and fumbled it, and then he threw the pick. So he turned the ball over early. But overall, in the last 5 weeks in this winning streak, he's been really good. But Barkley's going to do his thing.
Now, their win streak, it's a little suspect. The five wins that they've strung together, the teams are a combined 13-35.
Well,
so they've
still got to beat them.
They've been beating up on some weaklings.
Problem is, you could say the same thing about us.
That's true.
That's the problem.
But probably not to that extent, not 13-35.
It'll be a great test.
Absolutely.
It'll be a great test. And one thing that I think is a little undersold is I still think even though defensively we weren't perfect, they've made great strides defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Even though St. Jude still gets burnt, once or twice a week, they're tackling better on the whole, even though it wasn't their best game yesterday. What Joe Witt and Dan Quinn are getting out of this defense, based on what we saw in the first couple weeks, I think is remarkable.
And if Lattimore can play, it's a game changer.
Holy.
Because you're facing two stud receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Right.
Goddard, by the way, came back, too.
He comes back.
A threat
at
tight end. But Lattimore can take away one of those guys, at least limit one of those guys if he plays.
And my guess is against Philly, we're probably not going to fumble a punt. We're probably not going to drop seven or eight passes. I think you'll see a little crisper, a little better offense. Whether or not we'll be able to stop and slow down Barkley and Hurts, who knows? Probably unlikely.
Now, it's a short week for both teams. It's actually shorter for Philly because they played the later game.
Yeah.
But the short week would concern me a little bit, especially since B-Rob has missed 2 weeks. Lattimore hasn't been out on the practice field yet. I would hope that Lattimore would play because you need him in this game.
I think you're going
to
see.
But the short week to play a game that's so big in the division, yeah, that will concern me.
I think you're going to see a bigger rushing impact, obviously, from Jaden Daniels in this game than against the Steelers. Held to 5 yards in the Steelers game. I think he's going to have a big rushing game, like 40-plus rushing yards, hopefully finds the end zone. Hasn't scored a rushing touchdown in 6 straight games. And I think the Commanders' offense would like to see him score a rushing touchdown.
What will help is health, and we haven't even talked about the sort of the banged-up offensive line. I mean, Wiley didn't play. You had Trent Scott in there, arguably their fourth tackle.
He's not good.
I mean, you know, he
did a fine job, but he's not good.
Yeah, Biotis gets banged up with an ankle injury.
Biotis is banged up
up
the middle.
Concerning.
We've learned over the last several years how important it is to be stout in the middle. We don't have our complementary left tackle. So there's a lot of issues there. There's a lot of health issues that are starting to creep up with this team. Once they get that addressed, I expect this offense to start humming again.
I'll put this up as the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. And it's kind of a temperature check. Are your feelings about this team unchanged, or are they changed after yesterday's game? I would say unchanged, not really fazed by the loss. They went toe-to-toe with one of the big boys.
Yeah. They're on track to win 10 or 11 games after what they win last year?
Four.
Yeah, four games.
Four games? I mean, they're on a remarkable track.
Still optimistic. Now, the game at Philly is going to be tough on a short week. And you got some beat up guys. I mean, the week 14 bye isn't helping this Commanders team. That late bye is kind of crushing them. But you've got two big fat tomato cans lined up at home before the bye in Dallas and the Tennessee Titans. Like, even if you drop the game in Philly, you should look at those games as must wins heading into the bye.
Isn't that funny how we're saying Dallas is a tomato can?
Well,
I mean, sounds so weird.
You saw what Philly did to them over the weekend.
No, I agree with you. They are.
Yeah.
That just sounds so strange.
Yeah.
That you're looking at Dallas on the schedule going, that's an
that
easy
team
win.
Is in, that, they are in free
They're
fall.
They're an atrocity. I know.
Complete disarray right now.
Yeah.
All right. You want to bang out a couple of these calls?
Sure. Let's
see what the people are feeling. Let's go to Rick in Charlestown. Rick, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, Junks. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
And my feelings have changed since, Daniels had his rib injury. I mean, when you're looking at the game, look how many times after Daniels goes to the sideline, he just sits, not talking to anybody. He's not as, upbeat as he was in the games before his injury. And it's kind of like...
I don't see that.
Games. I haven't seen that.
I just
that.
See a guy totally calm, totally locked in.
Right.
I'm so impressed by how sort of unfazed he is on the sideline. I'm just blown away by the
cool
kid's maturity.
Customer. That's what he is.
He's the coolest kid in that stadium.
Yep.
But he doesn't get too high when things are going great, and he doesn't get too low.
And again...
Stays medium like Jim Zorn cakes.
That's what you're supposed to do, JP.
He said clearly afterward in the press conference that the rib is still there, but, he's just... He hasn't missed a snap since, he's come back.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, watch that McCaffrey throw on the left sideline. It was a missile.
Oh, he can still deliver the ball.
I have no issues with his ribs. If he misses a throw, it's not because he's hurt. Dude, he misses a throw because he's human.
Also, the throw to Terry McLaurin on the sideline was a perfect ball.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Great catch by Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Perfect ball.
I think
McLaurin just was a little off yesterday.
I think McLaurin needs to be targeted more. I don't know how they do it, but he's just got to be, because he doesn't drop balls.
I thought they were going to him on fourth down instead of Ertz.
I think McLaurin's got to be one of those Malik Neighbors, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase.
I think you got to go to who's open.
He doesn't get that treatment, though. Like his,
I know, I'm just
he
wondering
only has
why.
One double-digit target game all season, and that was against Arizona, and that was at the end of September.
Now, maybe he doesn't get open like those other guys do, but I would think he...
Well, it's also
they
the
focus
attack.
On him, too.
The rushing attack
true.
Takes
that
up
is true.
So much of the
that is true.
Offensive
I mean, they didn't have a lot of numbers, but that Steelers D was putting pressure on Jaden every time
he
dropped.
Sure, sure. I just think, even in other games this year, I just think McLaurin is so good at catching the ball. He just doesn't drop them, and he can get open. I just think he's got to be targeted.
I was a little disappointed
double figures.
He got caught from behind on that one.
Well, he's not a burner.
Kind of is a burner coming out of the league. They said he was like a 4-3 guy.
Didn't Porter catch him?
I needed those Jaden Daniels fantasy points, EB.
Yeah.
I was disappointed, too.
We needed it for our parlay, too.
Needed it for the parlay.
Because we hit our first two legs.
That's right.
Let's go to Brian in Olney. Brian, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Yeah, good morning, Junks. I got to tell you, I'm a Dolphins fan. Actually, you shared that with JP weeks ago. But I got to tell you, this team was somewhat reminiscent of last year's Dolphins team, which was, again, they were beating all the crappy teams. However, yesterday, I'm leaning now towards the Commanders being, you know, the real deal. You know, they're banged up. Yesterday, they played a tough Steelers team that's kind of like has some momentum right now. However, I'm concerned about this Thursday night game and this young quarterback kind of really making sure that he's ready to play, given all of the offensive line issues as well as the defensive troubles.
Well, I think he'll be ready to play. I don't think you have to question that, right? Nobody's going to question his readiness to play.
I think they're going to score. I don't know if they're going to stop Philly. I think they're going to score.
I think there's a good chance Wiley will play. Now, not that Wiley's great, but we just heard from John Keim, who covers the team, that said he was warming up before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these things were game-time decisions.
And he was available.
Yeah.
He wasn't inactive. He was an emergency guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he got a shot. Let's go to Paul in D.C. Paul, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, brothers?
Good. Hey,
Paul. Listen, man. At the end of the day, we should all be just fine and on the same high because we had that game, 27-21. Austin Ekeler gets a great kick return, and all we needed was about 20 to 30 yards. All we needed was a field goal to win that game. And I'm kind of pissed off that Cliff Kingsbury did a freaking trick play on 3rd and 16 when the yards were more important than trying to do a trick play. So he didn't run the ball as much as I would have liked, especially on that last drive in under 2 minutes. Everything was 5 wide, and that takes away the threat of the run. If you put Ekeler in the backfield, even if they blitz or come with a straight rush and he can slip out and maybe get to the flat, and then you can, you know what I'm saying, get some yards there. So it was some things there that we couldn't.
I think they looked to Ekeler on one of those plays, and he was covered, if I recall.
By the way,
I don't remember 5 wide on every
play. Speaking of another trick play, please take the play that they had Deami Brown where they threw the ball out to him, and they were thinking of having Brown throw it back to Jaden.
Well, that's what he was talking
about. That one? Yeah. Never run that play again. That play is horrible. Please scrap that from the playbook.
That's low percentage, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mike in Fairfax. Mike, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, back to McLaurin, though. Like, if he's not catching the ball, he's also, like, his bye position, he's able to get penalties, too. Back to Jaden, EB, I'm with you, man. I think the guys are tripping. That was at worst a C-plus game.
Right.
And count the drops. And not even just the drops, the consequential drops. If those guys caught those balls, talking about McCaffrey on the sideline, Ertz earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
If they caught those balls, we're talking a B-plus game, all right? So we go to the Philly on Thursday. We cover. We're good.
I
think that's a fair perspective. Looking at that last drive, they start with the ball on the 35-yard line. Going to Jason's point about Terry McLaurin, so incomplete pass on first down. I'm not sure who was targeted on that. Second down, pass to Noah Brown, 14-yard gain. So now they're at the 49-yard line. First and 10, Jaden Daniels runs. Second down, he's going for Noah Brown. Third down, he's going for Noah Brown. Fourth down goes for Ertz. Not one target on that last drive to Terry McLaurin.
Well, he's going to get targeted against the Eagles. In 10 career games, he averages almost 85 yards receiving per game. He's found the end zone 4 times. So hopefully he finds it again.
Just find ways to get him open across the middle. I just he's your number one guy.
Yep.
He's got to be targeted more than 6 or 7 times.
Yep.
It is Veterans Day. Remember, our heroes, our nation's heroes, need your support. If you have an old car or an extra vehicle you no longer need, donating it to the Purple Heart Foundation can provide critical assistance to vets and their families. Donating a car is easy. You'll get free pickup and a tax receipt, and veterans will get the life-saving support they need. Visit purpleheartfoundation.org to donate a car and help our heroes. We need your support today. That's purpleheartfoundation.org. Welcome back on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. And look, you didn't get blasted, so it doesn't feel like true misery. You're right there. And for a lot of people, it comes down to the spot. When you watch that play, Cakes, Did you think first down?
I have a pro Commanders bias. Don't get me wrong. But I thought, of course, it's a first down. But I also know there's an epidemic of bad refereeing and poor spotting and chain gangs still being used in the NFL. So I know they're way behind the times when it comes to spotting the football. So am I surprised they got the spot wrong, apparently? No. Not surprised one bit.
I thought he got it when I saw it, but, you know, to the naked eye. Mm-hmm. Once they started to show the replay, though, I thought we were probably in trouble. He did come back a little bit.
Well, plus the fact that they immediately were pointing the other direction that it was.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't wait to say that the Steelers stopped them short.
Yeah.
So that was critical, too.
Well, their immediate spot was bad.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. Whether or not he got it,
probably a yard and a half further away from where they actually caught the ball.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for me, I thought, just like you said, the eye test, I thought he got it. But the fact that they slowed it down and they looked at it upstairs, I could see why they shorted him.
But the game wasn't over there.
By half a football, probably.
Yeah. Game's not over there because they have their three timeouts. Steelers get the ball. You get them into a fourth and short. And look, it's a decision by Tomlin. We'll never know if they were actually going to run the play.
They weren't going to run the play.
I
don't think they were going to run the play. I don't think Tomlin will ever truly reveal it. But
no, it's just
brings the guys
sense.
Out there.
They're not going to give the ball back to Washington at midfield.
Well, you could also have the attitude. And look, Tomlin made a tough decision a couple weeks ago when he went to Russell Wilson instead of sticking with Justin Fields when they're 4-2. And he said that's why I get paid the big bucks. Maybe he's like, hey, we're going to go for it here, get a yard and a half, and game's over.
I just felt so bad for Johnny Newton for jumping off sides because he's been nothing but great filling in for Jonathan Allen since he went down with the pec injury. Like I just felt like bad that the spotlight was on him for that play.
But don't you have to know that Russell Wilson, a veteran, is going
to
try and draw you off sides?
It's a
rookie mistake. The guy was crying in the locker room.
You feel horrible.
Feel bad
Give
the
kid
guy.
A break.
He probably feels like he cost him the game. He didn't.
No, there was plenty of
other spots. I mean, even if they get the ball back, doesn't mean they're going to score. But
so we'll with the loss, Commanders drop out of first place, 7-3. Face the 7-2 Eagles. The Eagles have been rolling, but look, you went on Thursday and everything's right. Back in first place.
I'm not sweating the standings at this point. This is a Commanders team that won four games last year, and they're sitting at 7 at this point, heading into week 11. So would you love to win the NFC East? Of course you would. But the rebuild, we've talked about it already, is way ahead of schedule.
Right.
So you have to be optimistic with the 7 wins, hope they get the 8th on a short week in Philly.
Well, if they don't, they're going to get the 8th the week after.
You would think.
And then they're going to get the 9th the week after.
I like how you're just chalking up
because
wins.
That's because the Commanders and the Titans. I mean, that's the Cowboys and the Titans.
Cowboys and Titans.
Right.
And I'm sorry, they're just not losing to those teams.
They shouldn't.
Right. And then even if they lose, then they're 9-4. Right. So even if they lose to Philly and they beat Dallas like they should and beat the Titans like they should, they're 9-4 and sitting pretty.
Now, Thursday's game is big because it's the division game. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Eagles are just ahead of Washington, and then that would separate them even more. But in terms of getting to the playoffs, no, it's not critical.
All right, sneaking some phone calls. Doing a temperature check. How do you feel about this team? Has your opinion changed after losing the Steelers 28-27?
My opinion might be they're more legit than
I thought. I might reframe it. It might be like just a mediocre Monday instead of a misery Monday. I'm not feeling very miserable
right
at this point.
Let's go to Ron in Poolsville. Ron, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Junks. Thank you so much for making my mornings. And I'm not in any kind of misery at all. You think about Pittsburgh came in there off of a bye week, right? And we had a bunch of injuries. I am concerned about B-Rob. I'd really like to get him back because that means we can control the clock a little better with him. I really don't like running Eckler or those little guys between the tackles. But overall, I'm not sweating this. I'm very proud of the team and the rebuild and all the things you guys have said. The injuries and so forth have really hurt, especially on the offensive line. But we've won 7 games, man. We've won 7 games.
I think that's a reasonable perspective. I think a lot of people, if you think big picture, you have to be thrilled with where you are. Sucks you lose a game. Sucks that maybe Jaden didn't play his best game, but you're still 7-3 and have a chance to be back in first place on Thursday.
Let's go to Brandon in Arlington. Brandon, what's up, buddy? You on with the Junks?
Hey, what's up, Junks? Love the show as always.
Thanks,
happy Veterans Day.
Yes.
I was at the game with my dad, a Navy vet, Hey, I know EB has a patent pending on his back tatting machine. Can
yes,
I borrow
sir.
It for a minute here?
Sure.
Test it out.
All right.
I was the last caller on Friday morning, 9:55. I was a Steelers fan. I said, I think the Commanders are fine. I think they'll win in a tight one. But I said the only way the Steelers win is if they win time of possession, they dominated that. If they win the run game, they dominated that. And if they get a little luck on special teams and those two muff punts, I mean, one of them led directly to 7 points. Yes, thank you, Cakes. So I think the Commanders are fine long term. They went toe-to-toe. They probably should have won the game with one of the best in the AFC. And they'll be okay. And, a couple other things. Hey, I saw your boy D. Smith. I was heading up the elevators, and I saw him. And he was super nice. He shook my hand. He kind of just looked at me like, who are you? And I was like, I love you on the Junkies. Are you going to be there for the holiday show? And he started laughing. He said, well, the Junkies aren't doing a good enough job if you got your terrible towel here.
True.
And then one last thing. I got to give the Commanders in-game media team some props. They played 57 Future songs. I don't know if they do that every game, but they were
funny.
Definitely trolling.
The trolling Russell
Wilson.
That's
a great bit. I do like that bit.
Every TV timeout, every third down, they were playing the old school bangers from a decade ago. They were playing the new stuff.
Would I even know?
That's high level trolling. I wouldn't know a Future song. If Future came in here and started singing to me, I wouldn't know a Future song.
That's great.
I'm just being honest.
Well, maybe at some point I want to hear a Future song.
Or maybe not.
Because I know he's super famous. I just don't think I know him. I know any of the hits.
Didn't look like it affected him too much.
I don't want to hear him in the past, present, or future. How about that?
Yeah. I got to tell you. So at halftime, I went to visit two of my buddies.
Mm-hmm. I would
walking
never
through
have done
the concourse.
That, by the way. JP was in the presidential suite.
Yeah.
If I'm in the presidential suite,
you're staying there?
I'm staying there for the entire game.
You're not going to go see those peasants in the regular seats.
Well, let me tell you.
I'm just going to tell them, I'll see you another time. I'm hanging out with a bunch of sillies.
This is obvious. But the president's suite, the spread was amazing.
Of course it is.
They had, like braised meat, beef. They had crab cakes. They had shrimp sliders.
Right.
They had everything. But also, you have a bathroom in the
suite. Your friends are dealing with stale
bathroom
pretzels.
In the suite. I go in the concourse down on section one. Now, that's on the fifth floor, so you got to go down to the first floor. The concourse was so packed.
Yeah.
The lines to the bathroom were like 75 deep. But what I was going to say is...
So much beer being...
A lot of junkie shout-outs.
A lot
of people. I mean, just tons of junkie shout-outs.
Must have saw that gray hair from a long ways away.
They could spot me.
Yeah, they gotcha. They nailed you.
Right, perfect.
But I also wasn't wearing the black and gold. So many Steelers jerseys. Mm-hmm. It was annoying.
Yinzer's paradise.
It was annoying.
But remember what Kime said? Those tickets went on sale, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
And nobody thought this team was going to be 7-2. Heading into week.
It's very annoying that the Yinzers got to see the Pens beat the Caps Friday night, and then they leave with another W. After beating the Commanders on Sunday. Kind of annoying.
It is annoying.
Yeah.
But it's also great that Ovi has 10 goals in his first four
games.
They
came back with 8.
I mean, he just scores all the
time.
Put
up an 8 spot.
Yeah.
Nice.
800-636-1067 is the number you want to call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines here on the Junkies. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. no matter what. Just take a shot, pass the rest to your entire squad, and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.